Campus FM jippreżenta Il-Balomba. Programm li jagħti ħarsa lil aħħar ġrajiet u żviluppi relatati mal-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej. Produzzjoni u preżentazzjoni ta' Jasmine Saliba.
L-odwa t-tajba un-nilqakom għal din l-ewwel edizzjoni tal-programm minn sensiela ġdida, il-programm Il-Balomba. Programm li huwa mtella mir-rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta u programm li fih kif huwa biex ngħidu hekk soltu li jsir, se nagħtu ħarsa lejn dawk l-aħbarijiet li jkunu qegħdin jiġru fl-isferi tal-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej, dawk li imħossu li jkunu ta' interess ġenerali għal semmija tagħna. Però wkoll ikolna l-opportunità illi nintervistaw xi personalitajiet illi fir-ruol tagħhom jew fiħdan l-Unjoni Ewropea u istituzzjonijiet oħra Ewropej, jew inkella anka fiħdan l-organizzazzjonijiet li jirrappreżentaw, jagħtu informazzjoni u anka tarif marbut mal-ħidma tagħhom kif tkun tista' u taffetwa dak li jkun qiegħed iseħħ madwarna fl-ambitu ta' dak li jagħmel parti mill-Unjoni Ewropea. Nibdew fil-fatt din l-ewwel edizzjoni ta' dan il-programm b'aħbar li toħodna lura ftit tal-ġimgħat, però li kienet ta' ċerta importanza minħabba li kien diskors fl-opinjoni tiegħi mill-aktar importanti. U li nittama li fil-jiem li ġejni konna anka l-okkażjoni li nitkellmu aktar fid-dettall dwar dan id-diskors, diskors li jagħmel il-President tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea, Jose Manuel Barroso, dwar l-istat ta' l-Unjoni Ewropea. Diskors li huwa msemmi The State of the Union 2013 kien wieħed importanti minħabba li kienet jipprovdi qafas ġenerali tal-politika Ewropea. Fost il-punti prinċipali li semma l-President Barroso kien hemm appell lil dawk kollha li jinteressaw ruhom fl-Ewropa, jixini l-pożizzjoni politika u ideoloġika tagħhom, ġejjin minn fejn ġejjin, biex jitkellmu favur l-Ewropa. Huwa qal illi dan id-diskors qed jasal f'mument ta' anniversarju importanti, mhux neċessarjament feliċi, l-anniversarju tal-waqa ta' Lehman Brothers, illi pratikament tefa' lil ħafna pajjiżi fosthom lil Ewropa f'mument ta' kriżi fejn kien hemm qed tiġi faċċjata waħda mill-agħar kriżijiet illi laqtet l-ekonomiji mondjali inkluża dik Ewropea. U għatenna li jekk inħarsu lura u naħsbu dwar dak illi sar flimkien biex naqdu l-Ewropa matul il-kriżi, qatt ma konna se nobsru dan kollu seta' jkun possibbli ħames snin ilu. Huwa tenna li l-importanti issa fi ċirkostanzi hux se naqbdu nagħmlu b'dan il-progress għandna nitkellmu dwaru b'mod li jidher aħjar mill-liju jew b'mod li jidher anqas mill-liju. Nakkwistaw il-fiduċja minnu biex inkomplu dak li bdejna jew inċeknu r-riżultat ta' l-isforzi tagħna. Ovvjament, huwa kienet jirreferi għan-numru ta' sforzi li saru mingħand ta' pajjiżi taħt il-gwida tal-istess Kummissjoni Ewropea biex tkun tista' tissaħħaħ il-qagħda ekonomika ta' dawn il-pajjiżi. Il-President indika għadd ta' ċifri u żviluppi riċenti li jagħtu lill-Ewropa raġuni tajba biex tkun fiduċjuża. Għall-Ewropa huwa qal li rkupru huwa fil-qrib. Naturalment, però, huwa appella biex kulħadd iżomm għajnejh miftuħ. Iżda tenna li kollox jur li qegħdin fi triq it-tajba. U dan għandu jimla lill-pajjiżi b'kuraġġ biex kulħadd ikompli bl-isforzi tiegħu. Huwa sostna li għalihom li rkupru ma kienx daqshekk viċinhom u mhux qed jibbenefikaw minn żviluppi pożittivi. U qal li dan nafuħ mill-fatt li hemm 26 persuna, anzi 26 miljun persuna illi jinsabu bla xogħol. Il-President Barroso appella għal aktar integrazzjoni Ewropea fid-dawl tal-żviluppi globali fejn tenna li fid-dinja tagħna b'tibdil ġeoekonomiku u ġeopolitiku tettoniku jemmen li flimkien biss bħala Unjoni Ewropea nista' nagħtu lill-ċittadini tagħna dak li jixtiequ li fi żmien il-globalizzazzjoni il-valuri, l-interessi u l-prosperità tagħna jibqgħu jiġu protetti u promossi. Intant diskors ieħor importanti li jagħmel f'dawn l-aħħar ġranet il-President Barroso kien dak li preġieda s-summit tal-G20. L-iktar 20 pajjiż ekonomikament b'saħħtu fid-dinja. Fid-diskors tiegħu qal l-Unjoni Ewropea wet qed l-impenji tagħha jagħmel is-sena l-oħra iżda l-irkupru globali għadu wieħed faċli. Anzi, fraġli. Waqal li madankollu huwa fl-Ewropa qed naraw bidla deċiżiva fil-waqt li enfasizza li għandna nevitaw kwalunkwe tip ta' kompjaċenza minħabba l-livell qoli ta' qatt għalkemm fil-fatt hemm sinjal pożittivi tal-kupru. U ġibet l-attenzjoni għal-fatt li huwa ta' importanza kritika li nagħmlu kull sforz biex niżguraw li dan l-irkupru ikun sostenibbli tul iż-żmien. Il-President Barroso stabilixxa wkoll l-aspettattivi tiegħu għal punti oħrajn li kien hemm fuq l-aġenda f'dan is-summit. Għadu għal-aktar aħbarijiet wara li fit-23 ta' Settembru ġivarat xahar ta' dibattiti online dwar l-impjiegi, l-banek, id-drittijiet soċjali u l-kummerċ elettroniku jidher il-parteċipazzjoni. Jeta tilħaq dawk l-aspettativi illi kienu mistennija. Fil-fatt individwi, organizzazzjoniet u anka dawk li jfasslu l-politika, edin jaqsmu flimkien ideat kummerċjali li jistgħu ibidlu l-Ewropa mill-kuntest tas-suq uniku Ewropew. Fil-fatt dan id-dibattitu qed isir b'mod online, inkluż Malta, madwar l-Ewropa biex tisma' l-idea taċ-ċittadini li jistgħu jibdlu l-futur tas-suq uniku. Fil-fatt ix-xhur Ix-xar tas-suq uniku se jseħħ online jiġi organizzat fi 24 lingwa matul erba' ġimgħat u qed ikunu esplorati numru ta' temiet. Fosthom hemm l-impjiegi, drittijiet soċjali, l-banek u l-kummerċ elettroniku. Ix-xar tas-suq uniku jipprovdi opportunità unika għaċ-ċittadini li jużaw l-internet tal-Ewropa biex jikkumentaw fuqu, jisfidaw u jirfinaw il-politiki u l-istrateġiji tal-Kummissjoni. Parteċipanti se jkollhom qatt ta' modi kif qegħdin jinterraġixxu ma' dawk li jfasslu l-politika. Fosthom billi jproponu ideat ta' politika biex jitejb is-suq uniku, jivvutaw jikkumentaw dwar ideat politiċi preżentati minn oħrajn u jistaqsu l-esperti tal-Unjoni Ewropea, membri tal-Parlament u personalitajiet oħra ta' Brussell permezz ta' video chats diretti. Kollox kien hemm madwar 300 idea li diġà ġew imresqa minn partiti interessati u individwi fosthom l-introduzzjoni ta' karta professjonali tal-mobilità għall-infermiera, inizjattiva biex iżdied il-litterizmu finanzjarju fost iż-żgħażagħ u oħrajn. Skont studju dwar id-diskrepanza tal-VAT fl-Stati membri fl-2011 intilfu madwar 193 biljun euro fitħul mill-VAT li huwa 1.5% tal-prodott gross domestiku, minħabba li kien hemm nuqqas ta' konformità mar-regoli jew minħabba li ma nġabriċ it-taxxa. L-istudju li ġie finanzjat mill-Kummissjoni Ewropea bħala ħidma biex ikun hemm il-riforma fis-sistema tal-VAT fl-Ewropa kif ukoll bħala parti mill-kampanja tagħha fuq livell USA li teqres l-evażjoni tat-taxxa. L-istudji inkludi wkoll data dettaljata dwar id-diskrepanza li hemm bejn l-ammont ta' VAT dovut u l-ammont li fil-fatt inġabar fil-26 stat. Minħabba li pajjiżi bħaċ-Ċina u l-Indja jimmodernizzaw l-universitajiet tagħhom u jsaħħu l-isforzi biex jattiraw studenti internazzjonali, l-Ewropa jeħtieġ li tagħmel l-almu tagħha biex tibqa destinazzjoni attraenti. Dan huwa l-anta strateġija ġdida biex tiżgura li l-Ewropa tattira studenti internazzjonali u tagħti lill-gradwati tagħha l-ħiliet għall-karriera internazzjonali. Bil-fatt f'din l-istrateġija li ġiet varata ftit tal-ġranet ilu l-Kummissjoni Ewropea qed tħeġġeġ azzjoni fi tliet aspetti. L-ewwel qed huwa l-iskambju internazzjonali ta' studenti u staff. It-tieni l-internazzjonalizzazzjoni u t-tip tal-kurrikoli, inkluż it-tagħlim diġitali, u t-tielet il-kooperazzjoni, il-paternarjati u il-bini tal-kapaċità neċessarja biex ikun hemm dan it-tip ta' taħriġ. Il-programm ukoll ġdid Erasmus Plus li se jtinda f'Jannar tal-2014 se jżid ukoll skambi għal staff u studenti għal 135,000 fis-sena li prattikament jammonta għal 100,000 aktar milli taħt il-programm attwali Erasmus Mundi. Ftit tal-ġranet ilu kien hawn Malta Robert Medlin, direttur ġenerali responsabbli mid-direttorat tal-informazzjoni soċjetà u medja għall-konferenza li saret f'Malta bit-tema Digital Agenda Going Local. Għadna l-opportunità biex flimkien ma' Martin De Battista, ġurnalist speċjalizzat fil-qasam tat-teknoloġija, nagħmlu intervista għal dan il-programm.
What is Europe doing to become a leader in the ICT sector?
So in the ICT sector, the most important thing we're doing this autumn is preparing to spend over €1 billion a year going up from where we are in terms of research and innovation today. To be at the cutting edge in all the aspects of ICT, from designing the next chips, to quantum cryptography, the next generation of computers, driverless cars, electric vehicles, the whole work. And we're going to be launching that in November in Vilnius, the capital of the presidency. So we're very pleased about the research and innovation part. The second thing, which Nelly Kroes launched this week, is a Startup Europe manifesto. And everybody in Malta as well can go online and find the startupmanifesto.eu and sign it. It's really exciting. So the option there is, let's try to get more entrepreneurs to start in Europe, to scale up in Europe, and to stay in Europe. So it's about networking together the accelerators that are clustering around universities in different member states, the investment bankers who are in the ICT and web sector but need more partnerships across borders. It's also about going into schools, setting up coding academies, getting girls as well as boys interested in science. So the agenda is very broad, but the focus is the startup entrepreneurship. As we come out of recession, let's use the ICT sector to innovate and grow and get some new jobs.
And what was the progress registered in the past years? At what point we are towards achieving the goals set?
Right, so that's a more historical question, if you like. As you know, we launched our ICT flagship, the digital agenda, in 2010. The target dates run through to 2020, so it's a two-commission game, and we're now in year three of year four of the programme. Next year we have the handover of the Parliament elections and the Commission. Well, we are on track for the targets that we needed to achieve quickly, so getting up to basic broadband speed across Europe, we're at 95%. We now need to go for the missing 5%, which is not in places such as Malta, but in more sparse or mountainous regions, for different solutions, outnets, radio, satellite. Underneath that, we have some 2020 goals to get really high-speed broadband, and there it's slower. Again, Malta is, in a way, lucky with cable as well as telcos in place, so your coverage is better than average. So getting the basic infrastructure in place, we are on track, but the biggest problems are ahead. The second challenge, which I think is central to the agenda, is getting everybody online. And there, I would say, again, Malta is in the middle of the pack. The big challenge is not so much corporate use of internet, but getting people online for e-commerce and for e-government. For e-government, we're launching, under the new budget next year, a thing which we call the Connecting Europe Facility, to try to accelerate the installation across Europe of what we call digital service infrastructures. Let's make sure you've got EID, you can do e-procurement everywhere, so that even from more peripheral member states, you can bid for business somewhere else. If you're a software engineer, you don't have to fly out of Valletta to bid for a Portuguese contract. That sort of work will also be funded separately from research under the new budget.
The issue of privacy and security came to the fore this year with the revelations of Edward Snowden and PRISM in the USA. The European Commission has taken an assertive stand on the issue, but how can European citizens, who millions of them use the services of these American companies mentioned in the revelations on a daily basis, be better protected when they are using these crucial and much needed services on a daily basis?
So before I come to the transatlantic part, let me start with security in general, because I think that the internet is sometimes used by individuals and companies like a car with no brakes. You know, we say, this is great, I get in, I start the engine, I haven't worked out how to stop it. I give a PC to my son or daughter, they install it in the bedroom, there's no antivirus filter, or I haven't updated it for 3 years. I'm a SME, I don't have a business continuity plan if everything crashes, whether that's for a thunderstorm or because somebody cuts a cable while digging up the street. So basic resilience is crucial, because if the internet enabled the whole world, we don't want it to crash. And I think if all of us got that bit right, a sort of public health approach to cyber, we would be better off, we would be more mature thinking about the problem that you described. So then let's come to espionage, interception, and so on. Everybody does it. The idea of legal interception has existed definitely since we invented the telephone. What's at issue here is not so much whether interception happens, but whether there is democratic oversight, and whether the authorized interception is in keeping with the agreed rules. Now, Europe didn't start being assertive when Mr. Snowden started going to the media. We already negotiated with our US counterparts the Safe Harbor Agreement, which is a safe harbor for our data. It's not a safe harbor for American companies. And so if that agreement has been breached, we will need to reinforce the harbor. And that's the point on which Mrs. Reding is focusing now. What has happened? Who knew when? What do we have to do to fix any damage? In the meantime, but it's always been true, you should not assume any more than if you send a letter or make a phone call that it's entirely safe. So a certain amount of discretion by individuals would be a good thing. The European Union is not today saying we have to create a data fortress. What we're saying is we are a global player in data. The Commission's proposal for data protection claims jurisdiction wherever our data is held, in the same way that American and other countries claim global jurisdiction. And what we have to be sure of is that our jurisdiction is respected by our partners. These discussions are now taking place between American agencies and the Commission and member states. I'm pretty confident we will make progress, and I'm also confident on the basis of the safe harbor history that it will be a tough negotiation. But it's in the interests of both sides of the Atlantic to keep the global internet economy open for business. And that's the crucial goal.
The European Commission in recent weeks has issued several statements about the new 4G mobile communication services and next-generation access, blaming member states for the lack of progress compared to third countries like the USA. Why is the Commission pushing so hard on 4G when actually very few consumers have 4G-enabled devices? Most of the devices are still 3G-enabled, not 4G.
So, I mean, the first thing I'd like to say is the Commission has a job to call the shots. We don't blame people. The Council of Ministers, so every Member State and the European Parliament, endorsed the Commission proposals for broadband goals, and we have a commonly agreed set of indicators. So all we're doing is publishing the scoreboard that says this is where we are. Mrs. Kroes is saying we're not getting there fast enough, and that goes back to my first point about that we're there for basic broadband, 2, 3, 4 meg, but we're not there for 30, 40. We have to keep on pressing. I truly believe in those who say we will need data highways at high speed everywhere if we're going to be able to develop the businesses that innovation makes possible. So this is about the future, not the present. The fact that my car doesn't go at 120 kilometres an hour today doesn't mean I don't aspire to having a faster car tomorrow. Now, is it a particular technological specification? That's actually not the issue. I think the 4G element, that's a sort of a label. What's really being said is you need to have high-speed mobile connectivity with high assurance if you're going to be able to do e-health, e-procurement, etc., as well as the entertainment piece. And the big game changer that's coming is the Internet of Everything. When we have sensors and communication in cars and buses, which will be good for everybody, so you can you know whether you can finish your coffee before rushing out the door. If the bus is late, you don't need to go and stand in the rain, I would say, but in the sunshine for too long. Those sorts of things that will make all of our lives easier are not going to be possible without continued increasing speeds. I would say that the technicians would argue there are different futures which are possible. One pillar that we're looking at the moment around what we call a wireless strategy is a mix. It's a mix of enabling more pervasive Wi-Fi, which is something multi-citizens already live with, but it can get better. Another approach is 4G, 5G. We don't have to be sure that it's a specific specification, but we have to commit to more, faster, better, sooner.
Okay, you've mentioned, I think we're pretty covered with broadband and internet access. What about the other goals of the digital agenda? Where are we? We have the scoreboards, but what's your opinion? Where are we going, fast enough, or are we going pretty slower?
Sure. So I've talked about broadband. I've also talked about the research pillar. Without trying to go through all of them, let me focus on inclusion. Inclusion means this has to be good for everyone. We don't want to have the taxpayer or even companies building these data superhighways and then three guys in a Cadillac go by but the rest of us are sitting by the side of the road. We don't want a lot of people in cars going on the superhighway, but some of us have never had an opportunity to learn to drive. And this is not a sort of communist future. This is about making it possible for everyone. So it starts at school, and it starts in society. In society, you're going to have a Science in the Streets event here at the end of the month. Go and sit in a cafe and watch how many girls under 12 as well as boys under 12 go to that. Should be at least 50-50. Otherwise, in 20 years' time, you'll be missing part of the talent pool in the technical skills in the population. So it really starts at the beginning. And I think that's a difficult problem that we haven't cracked anywhere in Europe. And it's particularly acute. You might say, why does somebody from the IT area come and talk about that? Because it's particularly acute for us. And so the world-leading companies, which are often global multinationals, they have a very strong focus on getting more of everybody, more diversity into their workforce, not because they like diversity, but because that means they have access to the whole talent pool. Building from there, why does that go wrong? Partly it can be just the sort of messages you get as a kid in society, but partly it's also, does my teacher feel threatened by a tablet? So if you go to a policy of tablets for everyone, the big challenge, and it's not just for Malta, Singapore had the same problem, how to get the teachers up to skills, up to the skill level. And then it changes the way we teach, changes the way we share work between kids and between the classroom and the home and between the teacher and the parents. But that requires quite a profound rethink and some re-education. So that piece is a real challenge for all of us, and between the Education Commissioner and my own Commissioner, we're trying to work out how the IT piece of education reform will work. The other part of inclusion, which I've said in previous visits to the island, I think Malta does rather well, is reaching out to apprentices, the prison population, older people, and trying to get them to feel comfortable, not with coding, but at least with getting online and using. And I think that part, we have to go on developing it, because people who are 50 today are going to be dependent on comfortable use of telemedicine to be staying at home, feeling independent and good in 20 years' time. In 20 years' time, it'll be too late to get them online. So I would say we miss that bit. We go to places where people are already living in care homes and we do internet for them. We're getting into the schools. But the missing generation may be people of about my age who are not online, but who will need it during their life course. And so we have to be very attentive to all those little slivers of the population. And I think that bit is hard for everybody.
Last question from my part. Earlier this year, we had a change in government. How does the European Commission view this in terms of information society policies, strategies, regulations? Have you detected any changes from the part of the Maltese government?
One of the reasons, or one of the focal points of my visit on this occasion, is to meet the new actors and hear their views on where they're going in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. If I look at the numbers put Malta in a reasonably good position. So I don't detect sitting in Brussels any immediate changes, of course, but it's over the long term we can see this sort of thing. And I think, you know, coming up, if you look beyond next year when we change members of the European Parliament, elections, we changed commission, new commission mandate, then you see also on the horizon the Maltese presidency of the council. And I think that these are opportunities, given that Malta is a quite strong player in the IT field, for the government of the day to give a strong lead across Europe. So I see all that in a quite optimistic way.
One last question from my end. What is the added value of technology for economic growth, which goes beyond the aspects related to the better way of how people live? I mean, the tangible aspect of economic growth related to job creation, etc. And how then all the various pillars which you referred to tie in to make Europe even a leader in this field?
So when you say all the various pillars, you are absolutely right, because the link between all the stuff we've talked about and economic growth comes through entrepreneurs and companies. There's a study last year by the Boston Consulting Group which took several member states, looked at the SMEs, divided them between those who have really integrated all aspects of IT in their business vision and those who have not. So they called them high web and low web companies. The high web companies were growing several percentage points faster and employing more people. What that tells you is it's not a question of buying a shiny server and putting it in the basement. You have to re-engineer your processes. But the people who get this transformation will find that they can innovate faster, they can contact their customers more and better, they understand where the market is going, as well as dematerializing and reducing costs in some of the things like accounting and inventory control and getting the money in through the door. So putting it all together is the big innovation, and entrepreneurs are the guys who can do that, which takes me back to the sort of startup thing. That's where we can win, and everybody can win. So the scary thing is that's not a secret sauce you can keep in Europe or any other part of the world. So if we can get that right and retain a skilled, comfortable, healthy, educated workforce in a secure part of the world economy, then we can win. So we have to leverage the things that Europe has with IT-enabled entrepreneurial vision.
Bekġejna fit-tmiem din l-ewwel edizzjoni tal-programm il-Balomba li x-xandar bħallum t-min tiem jew inkella b'repetizzjoni nhar ta' ħadd fid-disa' ta' filgħodu dejjem fuq din il-frekwenza. Jiema fadal ixeħlif nirringrazzjakom tal-attenzjoni u nawguralkom il-kumplament ta' l-ħodu tajba.
Għadkom kemm smajtu. Il-Balomba. Produzzjoni u preżentazzjoni ta' Jasmine Saliba.